So I'm wondering, do you ever say bless you to anyone? Do you say that? When do you say that? When someone sneezes, right? Yeah. Bless you. Like, please don't get sick and die. Bless you. Any other times? What's that? Oh, at breakfast time. Oh, you say a blessing for the food? And for everything, yeah. And maybe you say bless you in the morning. When I go out the door sometimes, it's usually I love you. But that's kind of a blessing too, isn't it? Or hope. This morning as I left and Karen was in her spiritual gathering online, which she does most Sunday mornings, she called out, I hope everything goes well. We bless each other in different ways, don't we? My Grammy, especially with her two favorite grandchildren, which didn't include me, although she loved me, but her youngest grandchildren were twin girls, my cousins Natalie and Nicole, and when they were little especially, she would hold them in her arms and say, bless a little heart. What does it mean to be blessed? Our reading today used the word happy as one of the variations on that famous passage about blessings, that famous and enigmatic and difficult passage about blessings. Some people think that to be blessed means that God somehow intervenes in our lives and often gives us material things like receiving a gift or a new car or a job or children or good weather or good health. It's blessings that we, gifts that we receive from God. And sure, those things can be seen as blessings. But the biblical idea of a blessing goes much deeper than that. When Jesus spoke these words, he was speaking to peasants, really, 2,000 years ago. Not to relatively wealthy North Americans like us. And yet, we are, as modern Christians, still vulnerable to temptation and loss and grief and desperation and ridicule. One of my favorite authors I discovered when I was young was Kurt Vonnegut. And he once pointed out that there are no Christians demanding, like they are with the Ten Commandments, there are no Christians saying, oh, we need to put up copies of the Beatitudes in public places. He said, blessed are the merciful in a courtroom. Blessed are the peacemakers in the Pentagon. Now that would be something, wouldn't it? Some psychologists and psychiatrists even point to this passage that we call the Beatitudes, the blessings, as proof that Jesus was not really balanced. One distinguished British psychologist says, the spirit of self-sacrifice which permeates Christianity is so highly prized in the Christian religious life, it is masochism moderately indulged. A much stronger expression of it is found in Christ's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. This passage, this blesses the poor, the meek, the persecuted. It exhorts us not to resist evil, but to offer the second cheek to the smiter, and to do good to them that hate you, and forgive those who trespass. All this breathes of masochism, he says. So which is it? Is it masochism? Is it teaching people to be meek and not put up a fight? Which is it? Anyone who responds with a quick and easy answer maybe hasn't taken the Beatitudes seriously enough. This is a difficult teaching. If the Beatitudes are true, then why don't we in the church encourage poverty and mourning and meekness and persecution instead of striving against those things? What is the meaning of this cryptic ethical core of Jesus' teaching? Now, I would say, along with many others, that rather than elevating poverty to a form of righteousness, Jesus is instead calling for a revolution of imagination around the nature of what we consider to be true blessing. Jesus, in these words, declares that the humble and repentant heart is the fertile soil of his realm, his kingdom. Ultimately, we are blessed when we recognize the presence of the divine in our lives, a state of ultimate grace that, in its purest form, tells us that God is with us. We know, and we've been reminded again and again in recent weeks, what a complicated world we live in. There's, of course, the pandemic that continues to go on, wars in Ukraine and Central Africa, in the Middle East. There's massive social injustice and wealth disparity. There's homelessness and hunger, even here in our prosperous city. We all experience grief. We all suffer in different ways. We all hunger and thirst for a more just world. Some of us suffer more than others, of course, especially those of us who are or have been touched directly by tragedy and trauma. Sometimes it's enough to make us question our faith, or even wonder if we're cursed. Not so, says Jesus. Not only are we not cursed when we suffer, it is in these painful extremes that we are most blessed. This is the surprising, empowering word of Christ. As Donald Schmidt says, the Beatitudes tell us that we can find and experience God's presence in difficult times. We can know our lives are expressions of divine love when we seek to bring about peace and justice in our world. We can find comfort when we are grieving and hurting. And at those times when people put us down for our adherence to the living gospel and the call for a better world where all are included, we can feel assured that despite ridicule, we are on the right path. In fact, it's that very persecution that lets us know we're doing something right. Jesus invites us to revoke our citizenship in this messed up world and to live instead as citizens of God's realm, God's kingdom. He invites us to make a choice, as the anthem said, to live in that realm, instead of what passes for reality in our world. If we accept that the world is really simply a society when only the strong and the rich and the successful are blessed, and that's the end of it, then maybe we have to live accordingly. But if this is really God's world, and the world is really a place where God blesses the poor, the hungry, and the persecuted, then we will act in accordance with that reality. We live in this world, but we can choose where our citizenship is. We can choose how we see and behave in this world. Do we live by the rules of a broken world or by the laws of a gracious and loving God? The choice is ours, and Jesus points the way down a difficult path. Jesus introduces us to the upside-down realm of God and how God's values are totally opposite to most of the values that are held up in our society. In this famous Sermon on the Mount, he tells us even to love our enemies. In God's realm, the poor and the powerless are honored, while the rich and powerful are humbled. In this great sermon on the realm of God, we come face to face with just how radical Jesus' teaching is to us, just as it was to those who first heard his words. Jesus turned people and institutions on their head. He threw over tables and temples and called people back to faithfulness. He rewrote religious rules like the ones about the Sabbath, and taught that the rules and teachings were for the people, not us for them. He honored and respected women in ways that were truly revolutionary in that time. He spoke with and dined with outcasts and sinners, even tax collectors. He valued the poorest, the weakest, the sickest people, and gave them his time and his love and his healing touch. He taught a completely different kind of economics in terms of how we value people compared to money and possessions. Jesus doesn't try to deny the way the world is. He is well aware. But he calls us to live differently in it. In God's realm, we are blessed if we are poor in spirit. We are blessed if we mourn. We are blessed if we are meek. We are blessed when we hunger for what is right. Beatitudes are not promises of pie in the sky when you die, but a dramatic, radical declaration of God's attitude towards the so-called losers of our world. The Beatitudes are not a to-do list to be attempted by eager rule-keeping disciples. It is a spiritual done list of the qualities that God brings to bear in people who follow Jesus. God's blessing is not just some vague promise for tomorrow. It's here today. When we feed the poor, we wonder if we're experiencing loss or grief or depression, hopelessness, because of something we've done, maybe. But Jesus teaches us a complete reversal of the belief that we've done something wrong to deserve our suffering. People that the world considered cursed are in fact blessed by God. Have any of you read the novel by Alice Walker called The Color Purple? Or maybe seen the movie many years ago now. Alice Walker wrote kind of a sequel to that novel, and in it she offers this poetic rephrasing of the Beatitudes of Jesus. She translates the word blessed into helped. God's help. I invite you now, as I read just an abridged version of Alice Walker's words, to meditate with me on these reimagined Beatitudes. Helped are those who love the entire cosmos rather than their own tiny country, city, or farm. For to them will be shown the unbroken web of life and the meaning of infinity. Helped are those who live in quietness, knowing neither brand name or fad. They shall live every day as if in eternity, and each moment shall be as full as it is long. Helped are those who love the earth, their mother, and who willingly suffer that she may not die. In their grief over her pain, they will weep rivers of blood, and in their joy in her lively response to love, they will converse with the trees. Helped are those whose every act is a prayer for harmony in the universe, for they are the restorers of balance to our planet. To them will be given the insight that every good act done anywhere in the cosmos welcomes the life of an animal or a child. Helped are those who risk for others' sakes. To them will be given increasing opportunities for even greater risks. Theirs will be a vision of the world in which no one's gift is despised or lost. Helped are those whose every act is a prayer for peace. On them depends the future of the world. Helped are those who forgive. Their reward shall be forgiveness of every evil done to them. It will be in their power, therefore, to envision the new earth. Helped are those who laugh with a pure heart. Theirs will be the company of the jolly righteous. Helped are those who love all the colors of all the human beings, who love the lesbian, the gay, the straight, and as they love the sun, the moon, and the stars. None of their children nor any of their ancestors, nor any parts of themselves shall be hidden from them. Helped are those who lose their fear of death. Theirs is the power to envision the future in a blade of grass. Helped are those who know. People like Lisa and Carrie and all the folks that we will honor next week. Indeed, all of us here are the ones who help us to know, who help us to live in God's realm, where these blessings of Jesus, these uncommon, almost ridiculous reversals can actually happen in our midst. Thanks be to God for each other and for this call. Amen.